BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Five Lives Rugby Union Weekly.
Right, Ashley, Twickenham, England squad announcement day, Wednesday lunchtime, Rugby Union Weekly. We're in the gym at Twickenham. Bring back some old memories.
Yes, it does. I always like being in the Twickenham Stadium gym just because we don't have access to this much space in any other club in England. So I used to watch, brought up NFL, the Australia teams, the massive stadiums, and they always had this extra bit. So I used to come and use it even though I didn't really need it.
Just to
do whatever.
What? Do some training. Just do whatever.
Do whatever. Yeah.
Sit by yourself. Get some solitude. Was everyone else in the change room having lunch and stuff?
Nah, some lads came in here.
Okay.
But I don't know. Just a nice space to have.
Okay, loads to come. Steve Borthwick's on the way. Mm. He's named his squad. Lots to talk about. But whatever happens today, it won't rival. You mentioned NFL. How did you feel when that reset?
NRL.
Oh, you mentioned NRL. I thought you said NFL. Maybe NFL's on your mind. Maybe NFL's on my mind. We'll talk about Scotland, wow. Wales and Ireland as well, but almost feels like we have to start mentioning the Rees-Zammit stuff because nothing this week will trump it, you don't feel it, even though it's been a mega week of rugby news.
I'd like to get a timeline on it.
Well, according to Gatlin, the timeline was off a Sunday, Gloucester release like Monday, Tuesday, called Gatland Tuesday.
No, it can't be right. It can't. I'm not having it.
Things don't move that quickly. Well, obviously the season...
No, decisions don't move that quickly. Well, life-changing decisions don't move that quickly.
Is it easy when you're 22?
No. I left Rugby League, went to Rugby Union.
And it doesn't take
that. It took that. Me months.
Yeah, but maybe, I don't know. I'm sure the seeds were sown, but maybe the offer came in, right, you've got to start, you've got to move quickly, you've got to start this player pathway quickly.
No way.
You've got to make a decision quickly.
What if that is the case... Maybe he needs a new agent because that is crazy. I know it's an opportunity and I really hope it does what he wants from it. But you just don't make that big of decisions in that short of time. That is the worry.
Because it feels like everyone was caught blindsided, yeah. Even Gatland.
Yeah.
His squad was delayed because he fielded a phone call from Rees-Zammit that lunchtime saying, oh, by the way, I can't be in your squad. I don't play rugby anymore.
Yeah. And I saw him saying some stuff yesterday saying, why can't people just be happy and... it's great, you go and do what you want to do, that's fine. My only concern is the amount of thought he's put into it, and if he has put months into it, then he's been playing it for ages, then so be it. But the way it's caught everyone out, it doesn't seem that way.
But isn't that the point, that at 22 if you're going to make an impulsive decision,
buy a car?
maybe it's the time to do it, because look, he could do a few months on the programme, might not work out, he could be back in rugby within the year, or he could go and start a new life.
You know, I did that at 22. I bought a car at Northampton Saints,
right,
and it was far too fast and far too flashy, and Dorian West went, take that back tomorrow if you're not playing.
And that was that.
I took it back.
Took it back. Okay. Well, it's a crazy, crazy story. Been a crazy week. Loads going on. And if you're a Welsh fan, you lose Rees-Zammit, one of the hottest properties in Welsh rugby, slash the game full stop. And then you see Emmanuel Feyerwoboso named as part of this very revamped, overhauled, fresh face, however you want to label it, England squad. It's a kind of double jeopardy for Wales when it comes to wingers.
Yeah, I think the amazing thing I took from Gatland's interview yesterday was that he hadn't been in contact with Emmanuel. I just find that amazing, really, for him just to not even be in touch with someone who has played for Wales under 20s. But I mean, Wales lost his England's game right now and he's in the squad and we're all excited to see how he goes.
So, I mean, there's loads to pick apart, isn't there? There's Feyerwoboso, there's Ethan Roots, there's Chandler Cunningham South, there's Oscar
Ethan
Beard.
Roots is another one that's exciting. Yeah.
Played for the Ospreys, New Zealand born, bit of a bopper on the flank.
Yeah, hard as nails.
Feel he's got a chance.
Helps, all lads.
Yeah, all lads up. Fraser Dingwall, one of the Saints contingent. Tom Roebuck, Finn Smith. Both Scotland qualified those guys. And while they're in the squad, they're still, you know, they are England. They want to play for England, but yeah. Until they're capped either by England or England A, their eligibility, I suppose, is still open. But they're part of this group of seven uncapped players. Jamie George Skipper, some returning faces. Henry Slade, Luke Cowan-Dickey, Ben Spencer. No, Joe Cocconosiga, who you had there and thereabouts for a starting position. What's taken you most by surprise, whether that's a player being in or a player being out?
Probably the Oscar Beard one. He's done great for Quins this year. But that's where talking to Singer's been sacrificed for Oscar coming in. Is it something that we that Steve sees in him that he can develop more and just get him involved over the next few years? Good, could be good future planning. But yeah, I think that's definitely the most interesting one in the backs, anyway.
Mm. But there's plenty to go at, isn't there? What do you most want to? You know, we spoke about a bit with Danny on Monday. By the way, yeah. Danny's in. As we thought he might
yeah,
be.
Yeah, no shame. No shame. No.
And look, I just think from a nine point of view, Spencer, Mitchell and Kerr, you've got a bit of everything there, haven't you? You've kind of got Mitchell, yeah. who came of age at the World Cup. Spencer's playing brilliant rugby. Danny's experience. And he's playing great stuff as well.
He is. And just what he offers in and around the squad, what he did at the World Cup, for just his ability to get along with everybody and constantly be a happy man around the camp. His camper is quite essential for when you're away for a long time. So, and Danny's got a lot of experience, but yeah, it's great competition. We've got three real amazing nines. Danny's just got four games to go to get to his 100.
That must be like a batter in the 90s, isn't it? You just want, I suppose you can't hit a boundary, you just need to get there one at a time, yeah. don't you?
I think my biggest, what I'm most pleased about is Freeman, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's been one of the best players in the Premiership. And I really hope he starts on the wing for England.
But this is the thing, isn't it? It's a 36-man squad. There's a big difference between 36 and 23, isn't there? So we can get very excited about these new names. And, you know, we had it 7 years with Eddie Jones. He would often put people into the squad. But getting in Eddie Jones's squad was one thing. Actually playing is a completely different matter.
Mm.
And that's where it'll be fascinating to speak to Borthwick, because this does feel like his, you know, his he's had a year with the team, but this is properly his stamp on it. He inherited the squad from Jones, had a tight turnaround to the Six Nations, but has had a decent time in the saddle now, and this feels very much like his squad. I think the interesting thing for me is, of those uncapped players, of those returning players, who actually features in Rome and at home to Wales and in Edinburgh, places like that.
Yeah, we've had a turning point, or because of the World Cup cycle is now over and starting again, he's got to look a combination of new lads coming through. I think we're still, the forwards is definitely more of a difficult one for
Steve. George Martin is not in this squad, down as rehabilitation, so an injury issue there. And Alfie Barbary, Borthwick said in the press conference, we'll ask again about Barbary now, said he's going to be an England player, he's going to be a star of English rugby, but the disciplinary hearing that's happening Wednesday night just complicated matters a bit, and he's not in, but...
You know, it's just a four with no Mako, no Courtney, no Tom Curry, no Billy.
Billy and Carl Sinclair admitted they're available, yes, but admitted.
But I mean, moved on for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's
right?
A big complexion change.
It's just a hard... You've got to put a lot more thought into how that sits and how the forwards work together, but as a forward, the backs... I am excited by the backs that we have in the squad, and I think there's quite a natural fit if they're selected for how they all fit in there and how it works quite quickly. You've got a good balance of experience, lads who are playing really well at the minute, and just a good time to get involved in English rugby.
That's the backs.
Yeah.
But a few more question marks for you.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think Marla Cole... You know, Jamie George, skipper, that could well be the starting front row, with Genge still coming back from his injury. Itoja Chesson.
It's
the back row, ultimately, isn't it? The
second row.
Yeah.
Who your carriers are, who your ball players are.
Itoja Chesson locks, you'd imagine, with no Martin. But ideally, you'd probably have Martin in there, and then maybe the option of Chesson at six. Benel, I expect will play eight. But two big open positions on the flanks.
Right, Tom Curry, I mean, Ben Curry's been playing so well. Because we've lost Courtney, and now George Martin might not be fit for the first game, we haven't got an out-and-out carrier. That is the only reason Ben might not get. Sam Underhill probably going to be in that back row. Ben Earl carrying, so we need our locks to carry, really, or to be a carrying option or ball-playing option. That's where I think the confusion comes, and the bit you need to manage is going to be just take a bit more time.
Okay, loads to get into with the England boss, Steve Borthwick, who's next on the pod. Five Lives Rugby Union Weekly. Steve, great to see you. Odd experience being interviewed by former teammate and guy you coached in Chris Ashton.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here and talking with you both. I'm looking forward to this.
As Ashley's media career goes
would
from strength
I have
to strength.
Been selected here, Steve. It has to be the first question.
Are you going to make a comeback?
If there's an option, no. No, no, I'm not. It'd just be good to know, you know, for the state of mind.
For your state of mind, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. That's all I need. Thank you.
Could you do with a Chris Ashton type of player? That kind of instinctive try scorer.
Every team in the world would want a Chris Ashton type of player, without question. Ashy is a player, we played alongside each other many years ago, and brilliant to have a player like him in your team. And I say this, we're talking about him and he's sat right there, fiercely competitive. What a lot of people won't know about Ashy and is, I was usually pretty early in the gym. There was often one person in before me and that was Ashy. And very few people worked harder. All those boxing sessions I saw you do, those extra sessions, not just the bicep curls you do, but the extra conditioning sessions. Very few people would know about Ashy that when it came to all the fitness sessions that he was pushing to be the winner in all those things. I think they see him diving over the try line, which you always used to make me a little bit nervous as a coach, the way it was. But diving over the trial and doing those things, what I saw was how hard the man worked. And what an example was. And he's been, actually talking about, you've been very clear to me that you'd be up for helping the England team in any way, helping any young wings, giving any advice in any way, shape or form. And I think for former players to want to help the team now, I think that's testament to the type of character he is. And there's a group of them, a group of these players, former players now, that just want to help the team. And I think that's really heartening.
I think part of that is because the relationship that we had as playing, and then as you being a coach and me playing at Leicester Tiger with you, the relationship that we had and the communication that we had between us was a real benefit to me, the timing of it and just how you treated me for being a more experienced player, or you seem to have a good understanding of how people want to operate. So on days like today, or what you've done for the past week in ringing players and either giving them good news or bad news, how much do you put on that, having that relationship with the players, because you know that the impact it can have, good or bad?
I think that if I talk about a couple of things, one is trying to treat people the way you'd want to be treated. I think that's a fairly straightforward way of trying to look at things and a testament of the way you go about things. So as a player, you want to be treated with respect, as anybody wants to be treated with respect. And even if delivering the news that you don't want, it's got to be done in a way that's respectful to them. Do I always achieve that? No. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. But I think important to reflect upon that. And even players that tell me you could have done that better, I think that's a huge positive. One, the player is willing to do that. And two, that it creates a way in which the player feels that they can do that. I think then the second thing I'd say is about, I want the people around us to succeed. I want them to be really successful. Remember when we sat down in my office there and when you just joined, and whenever you decide to finish your career, you've been finished as one of the greatest legends of English rugby, with try scoring records galore, and you have. So what I see here when I'm with this team is trying to help this team succeed, trying to help these players achieve their dreams.
So when you have a conversation with one of these new guys, like Emmanuel Feyenoord-Wabosso or an Ethan Roots, players who have come a little bit out of nowhere this season to announce themselves as England internationals, what kind of thing, I'm sure you say something different to each person, but do you sort of, I'm sure you don't promise them you're going to play for England in Rome, but how would you get that messaging right to go, look, you play your cards right, you train well, you can achieve some really big things here?
Well, I think the message is one, and Chris will have heard these messages before, that we always want absolute linear progress. You want to just be on a path that's getting better consistently. And sometimes things go up and down. But I believe what the team needs and what players need is generally consistency around them. So we'll talk about the consistency. We'll talk about every day turning up, training a manner that trains to win, that puts you in the best situation to develop, that we move forward. And that'll be a question I often ask at the end of a day to my coaches is have we moved forward today? And if so, how far? And if so, what area? Because that tests against the objectives we set at the start of the day. And every single day doing that. I'd say for me is that consistency. And I know some people want different language and different behaviours. I chase absolute consistency of what we're going after. Consistency of development every single day. And I think that as a player, I wanted that from my coach. That's without question. I wanted coach to be consistent each day.
It seemed in the World Cup that there was a clear, as always is with you, the process of how you go through the tournament and get to the semi-final and being a whisker away of getting into another final. And a lot of that was based around the territorial style attack. Will we see, with the type of people that we have coming into the squad and what we still have, will we see that move on in a way of, because we not necessarily have, people's strength aren't necessarily that way of playing, will that be taken into account?
Without question. And I think as you look at a team and how you coach a team, the starting point is, there's a few things that I'll look at. One is the players you have available. I think the second part aspect of that you've got to be real respectful of is almost the DNA of the team, whether it's a club or a national team, is understanding what has been a foundation of that team's success in the past. And if you look, it's very clear what's been the foundation of England's success in the past. And I've looked back at that. And I think the third thing then is what wins in the competition you're part of. Now, in international rugby, that's a bit different to club rugby, as you well know. In the Six Nations, that's a bit different to where it was at the World Cup. And what we've got to do is be really aware of those things. And part of my role is to be able to bring those things together so the players have real clarity. Because if they were thinking about other things, it confuses them. Go on that field and bring all your talents. My job is to give them a clear plan to go after.
We were chatting earlier, myself and Ashley, about the back row. It looks pretty open because players like Courtney and Tom Curry aren't there, given how you know, consistent they've been in the side. And back three as well, you've got these new players coming in, Tommy Freeman, Faye Wabosa. So would you have any qualms about playing, say, two rookie flankers together or two rookie wings together? Do you always want that blend in a unit of youth and experience?
I would have no... I've picked these 36 players because I think they all play Test rugby for England. Let's be clear about that.
None are making up the numbers of the squad.
Do I think there is a benefit to having that blend of experience? Yes, I do. You know, I do think that's important. And I think you can look back at the coach and you'll see that I value that. And the guy that sat right here, Ashy, that an opportunity came to bring Ashy into an environment. And what value did Ashy bring? All he's playing, which he played at such an incredible level, but also made other players better. And I think that as players go through their careers, you know, initially they're good players and they're developing their game and it's their strengths they bring to bear on the opposition. I think what happens then is the development, they become the ability to stop opposition doing things really well. You know, then I think the third thing, when your player really develops, is often the effect they have upon everybody else on their team, that everybody else is whatever, 5%, 10% better because he's there. He's there training all week. He's there at the match day. He's there when in the real tough circumstances. He's done it before. And so do I value that? I really do. Do I think we've got some great young players to come through? Absolutely.
And how do you replace, because you know what Owen's like day to day, and just being able to be on the money, get everyone else to be on the money too. With Jamie taking over as captain, we know the values that he adds, but how do you replace Owen's energy and just want, is that now going to be a collective effort?
Yeah, and I think it's a really good question. And I think to try and plan to replace Owen Farrell in these situations is, I don't think that's the way that approach this, because Owen Farrell is a unique character and a unique leader. And I think we are both big supporters and fans of what Owen Farrell brings to a team. And so it's not about trying to replace. I think it's about, as I said earlier, I was asked if I'd given Jamie any advice. And the only thing I said to him, I want you to lead as you. And also, I didn't necessarily discuss this, is that when I was captain of England, I don't think I led as me, as authentically as me. And
why was that, do you think?
I think there's a multitude of different reasons. But I know that I reflect on that, and I think there's a better way of doing it. Now, one of the aspects I've got as a coach is giving the players enough room to lead. And what was really interesting was watching Owen during that World Cup and how he helped others grow and how he gave room to other leaders within the team. And I think you can see a lot of leaders in this team. And the team's been criticised in the past for not having leaders. Mm. I see a load of them. I see a load of leaders in different way, shape or form. So I have no doubt that they will develop together. There'll be a different dynamic. And it'll be a dynamic that will help build this team.
Can I ask Steve how you feel differently picking your squad a year on? Because if we fast backwards, if we go backwards a year, you were new to the job, you'd inherited someone else's squad, really. A year on, does this feel really like it's your own squad now?
I think we know more about the players. Clearly there are some new ones we need to know much more about. But if I went back 12 months, and I did this exercise last night, actually, discussion with one or two people in my management team, and we reflected on the selection process for this squad, which is important to do because you're always trying to improve each of your processes, and compared it with this process 12 months ago, and found is we know so much more about the players. Do we have complete information? No. We absolutely don't. So we've still got a load of work to do, and that changes because over a period of time, a player changes, you know. And but we know more about them. And I think what you get with this coaching team is I've heard it mentioned a couple of times, and people have asked me about the age of the coaching team. You know, and you know, I'm 44, and I'm the oldest of all the coaches, and I'm bringing Straws in as a consultant through the first few weeks. I think the coaches have got a good connection with the players. I think, you know, ultimately Wiggy was playing just over a year ago and understands and remembers what it feels like to be a player. So that connection and understand the players is, I think, we've stepped forward in.
Great stuff. And you know, when it comes to club form,
did he say great stuff to you? Because I sense that was a great stuff.
No, one on Danny in the squad at 37, you must have seen so much in him at the World Cup and then since to convince you that he's still got a big part to play in English rugby.
He told us, Steve, that he's allowed to do podcasts every Monday as well.
Has he said that, has he?
No, he's not. Ashy, good old-fashioned Ashy Stitch-up.
Yeah, so Danny was real clear to me at the end of the World Cup, and he said, you know, I want to keep playing for England as long as I can. And said it with this real passion that he knew it was true. And why for the opportunity to do is then watch how a player goes and plays for their club, and you tend to get a sense. Are they hungry? Are they being consistent every day? Are they trying to get better every day? And I think DC's put in some great performances. And I know he has a real positive effect on the players around him. We talk about that what we talked earlier on. Mm-hmm. I predominantly used Danny off the bench and finishing games, and I thought he did that so well. But that wasn't just his influence. The influence he had throughout the whole week, the support he has, the energy he brings to a team, I really enjoy that. The lead he brings and the nous he brings. Some of that stuff you can't measure, but you can value, and I value it a lot.
Just to finish, Steve, club form's clearly big for you because you look at teams that are going well in the Prem, Northampton, you've got Fraser Dingwall and Furbank and Freeman in there, Tom Pearson, Bath, Ben Spence has been flying and he's one of your nines, Benno Urbano likewise. No Alfie Barbary. Would Alfie have been in if he didn't have those disciplinary hearings Wednesday night to contend with?
I said to Alfie that I rate him exceptionally highly. And I remember watching, it was a Leicester game. I was coaching Leicester against Wasps, and the effect he had on the game was phenomenal. And he led his team to win that game. And I remember there just being astounded by just what an impact he has. It's rare you see somebody have that, and a young man have that level of impact. And do I think Alfie's going to be in this England squad in the near future at some point in time? I think without question, if he continues to keep playing the way he's playing, the disciplinary matters. Clear. I want this team to have absolute certainty, and I think that's important that these young men have certainty about what they're doing. That disciplinary process will take place, and then we'll assess where Alfie is then.
Awesome. Well, great stuff, Steve. Thanks for your time today, and we'll see you in Rome, if not before.
Thanks, Steve.
Five Lives Rugby Union Weekly.
Okay, Ash, we've left the gym because everyone started working out around us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit to go.
Oh, yeah, I was a bit hungry too, and you had some time to digest over your awful lunch choice of panini and chips. What did you think?
It was a steak sandwich.
It's awful. Anyway,
what did you have?
Salmon.
Yeah. Scraped the sauce off. Didn't eat the potato.
I apologize.
I just thought you'd be wasting away. Okay. So yeah, a couple of bits to pick out from the Steve Borthwick. The bit on Jamie George, just wants him to be himself. Doesn't want him to be a different person. And interesting how Borthwick then reflected on his own time as England captain.
Yeah, Jamie's was, I think, for us the clear choice. Or it's between him and one or two others. But Jamie's credentials definitely match up to taking the job on. His personality definitely helps. He's been around and done it. I think he's a voice that Steve can trust, having played with him. And, yeah, I think that Steve sees he's there to guide alongside him and help him be himself, and not maybe Steve said that he wasn't himself entirely as he was England captain, and he wants to guide Jamie in the right way of doing that.
And you hope he does. Well, Jamie's 33 now. He's been around the block, 80 plus caps. How many Lions tours? At least two, 17 and 21. You hope that the Jamie George as England captain is the Jamie George that we've seen for Saracens in England and the Lions over the years, both on and off the field. You hope the job doesn't change him. It shouldn't, should it?
No, it shouldn't at all. I think he has seen and been enough. He's been around a lot of good captains, obviously Lions tours. He's got everything in under his belt.
Because he's a charming, gregarious, affable bloke. And the pressure
needs
of...
to stay that one. We
well,
want
that's,
to stay
that's
that
the
way.
Thing you see a lot with the England cricket captains over the years, how the pressure of the job can change you. It's certainly in your public-facing persona, maybe not behind closed doors.
What might be the difficult thing is I really don't hope when this happens, is that Saracens have had a lot of success. Obviously, they've had setbacks, but they've not had too many, really, along the way. They've always been a really top team and always won things or been on their way to win things. Is if he needs and will want England to do the same in the Six Nations, otherwise it could be pressure that only people will be used to have been England captain in that situation.
Mm.
That's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't get to that.
No, and he's such a, as we've seen on the pod so many times, and we've obviously his credentials as a player speaks for him, for themselves. So, yeah, fully deserved, and as we know, a very impressive bloke on and off the field. A couple of other bits that stuck out from the interview. You asked him about the change in style, the attack, and look, there is no point having a Faye Wabosa, Tommy Freeman, or George Furbank, and these kind of players in and around the squad if they're not going to get used. You're confident that England have the time, they have the tools, they have the coaches in this short space of time to layer on England's game from those foundations at the World Cup, which, as you pointed out, were very kick and territory heavy.
Well, a point that he did make during today was Northampton are now top of the league, And one reason they are top of the league is they know kick more than what they used to. One thing you can guarantee with Steve is he will go through everything to get to the answer of how they want to play. And there's just a balance, isn't it? And that's why I asked about the players that we have. Is there an opportunity for us to see more of a running, attacking rugby? And I do not think for one second that he's against that. It's just people having a better understanding, and maybe that's why Northampton had success this year. They've got lads that went to the World Cup and saw it firsthand, and being part of a Northampton team that they've taken from the World Cup squad potentially.
Yeah, but as you pointed out, international game, club game, as we know, is so different. So I think that's just a fascinating part of England as we go into this Six Nations.
What he did say, England's history is...
Exactly, and Test rugby is different, and that is all very, very true, isn't
it?
You know, you're not going to play a style of rugby that we might see week in, week out in the Premiership.
Yes.
In the Six Nations, but it's just going to be fascinating to see how England and Richard Wigglesworth and Felix Jones and the skills consultants that come in are able just to take them to the next level. So that's a really interesting part of it. And also just the final bit on Borthwick before we talk about some other stories around, is that every player in that 36 have been picked. He thinks they can play for England. Mm-hmm. So there's no kind of Eddie Jones apprentices here, according to Borthwick. There are no players who he's earmarked just to get experience. That was certainly, as we touched upon earlier in the pod, a staple of the Eddie Jones regime. The kind of numbers 26 to 34 in the squad were often players who weren't going to get a gig. He's saying that everyone in that 36 could play. So if that's the case, then all, you know, all bets are off as we look ahead to Rome. It's all to play for that England squad.
With my experience, he's not afraid to put to throw lads in there. I mean, he made a big decision during the World Cup to put Marcus at fullback. No, hasn't played there before, but he made that decision. He made that call. He's done it at Leicester. I mean, the core group now that's at Leicester and play a big part in a Leicester are all the young lads that Steve gave the opportunity at a young age and are completely unknown. The opportunity to play at Leicester and now in their England spot. So, yeah, I don't think he's afraid to put people in, but I do think, like he said, he wants balance, and he has to be able to make up for what inexperience is somewhere else.
Yeah, completely. I mean, the theme of this Six Nations for me is change, new starts, start of a World Cup cycle, but I don't think we've ever had it before where England have a new captain, Wales have a new captain, France have a new captain, Ireland have a new captain that's been announced this afternoon, and as Gregor Townsend told our colleagues on BBC Scotland, Scotland might have a new captain. Jamie Ritchie's not guaranteed to keep that armband. He needs to prove his form and fitness. So at least four, maybe five of the six will have new leadership. And they're great stories, aren't they? Look at 21-year-old Dafydd Jenkins at Wales. Greg Aldreet, pretty solid choice to take over from DuPont. Peter Romani, a 34, taking over from Sexton. All change.
Could that lead to some unusual results?
Well, you'd think
in the whole change.
Yeah, you'd think if this is going, if anyone's going to break the France Ireland duopoly. So 2022, France played Ireland at home, France won the slam. 2023, Ireland played France at home, Ireland won the slam. That's been the theme of the last 2 years. They're the two best teams. Whoever got the big game at home won it and won the whole thing. So if it is to be a time for Scotland, England, Wales,
I think what's interesting with Ireland is Peter Romani at Munster has given up the captaincy, but yet taking it on at Ireland. Does that mean he doesn't think, Andy Farrell doesn't think that whoever's next in line isn't quite ready yet?
It does not have to be that, because I remember thinking, back in 2018, 17, would it be a thought for Eddie Jones to give Maratoja the captaincy and say, this is yours for X number of years? In the same way, post the 2019 World Cup, Ireland could have done the same with James Ryan. They could have gone, here you are. Might have been, let's say he was 24 at the time.
Gatland's done it, hasn't he?
Gatland, it's been a big part of Gatland to do that with Sam Warburton, with Jack Morgan, and now with Dafydd Jenkins. And Dowie Lake is the co-captains with Morgan, but now Dafydd Jenkins. And we'll see how Jenkins goes, and when Morgan comes back, he'll maybe get the armband back, but he's still a young guy. So Wales have done it, but Ireland and England have been reluctant to give someone the captaincy, perhaps before they're ready, in the hope they grow into the role. Whereas Gatland's approach is very much to say, okay, no one is going to pretend Dafydd Jenkins is the finished article as a leader at 21. Sam Warburton may not have been at 22, but in a few years' time, they will be absolutely brilliant in the role because of that experience and the ability to learn on the job.
Yeah, I'd say guy for me who's going to be probably next in line, though, has got to be Gary Ringrose, doing a job at Leinster.
Over like a James Ryan or a Caelan Doris or someone?
Yeah, just because they've given him the responsibility at Leinster, relatively young. They obviously clearly I think a lot of him and how he handles the day-to-day and goes about his business in the environment. So, yeah, there's got to be a lot to said for that.
Yeah, I just think it's... Peter, I mean, who can... I mean, this guy's captained the Lions in a test match, Peter Omani. Yeah, all those captaincy years with Munster. He's led Ireland, not on a sort of full-term basis.
Yeah.
So you can't quibble with his captaincy credentials. No, it's just an interesting one. A bit like when Sexton got the job in 2019 from Rory Best. It's just interesting that Farrell's now twice gone for an experienced option rather than gone start of a World Cup cycle, let's do this with a player who might lead for the next five, six, even more years. Mm. So Romani's the Ireland captain. We'll see what happens with Scotland. I still think Jamie Ritchie's got to be the man. I wonder if is Gregor Townsend just trying to send a message, look, with Rory Darge around and Hamish Watson.
He does that sometimes,
right? Yeah. Yeah, do you think that's...
He likes to leave lads on edge.
And that works, does it? Will that send the right message, do you think, to Jamie Ritchie to go, yeah, actually, the Scotland captaincy is too big a deal just to get through default. I've got to be
at
my best to get that honour. Yeah.
Like to get everybody in, get training, and then just naturally you see people who gravitate to being the leaders. It might give some other players in the squad an opportunity to show a bit more of the hand, maybe, because captain hasn't been named, so someone might feel a bit more confident in taking on the role. I don't know. There's a lot of different reasons why it could happen. But I think Gregor likes to leave lads on edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And Aldrete makes sense as French captain, doesn't it?
I think so. He is, like, in the middle of every good French performance. He's at the heart of it. He's just solid every week. I've got no problems with that. I completely understand that.
Okay, it is all happening. It is building up super quick to the Six Nations. Just to mark your card, Rugby Union Weekly will be going daily.
When's that?
Well, it's going to be in match week one, as they say. So that will be...
So that's you every day?
29th of Jan onwards. No. Well, you every day. I mean, are you not... You're going to be heavily involved by the looks of things.
Is that right?
I mean, we can't get rid of you. You're going to be in Marseille for the whole time. And Dublin next week. You're not coming to Dublin, are you, for the big launch?
No, I didn't make the cut for that one,
unfortunately. Didn't make the cut, but you will be holding the fort for our pod next Monday. And that, I believe, is that for squad announcement. What a week it's been. We've had new captains. We've had bolters from the blue.
We've had bolters disappear.
We've had bolters who's well,
Zammit.
Zammit, yeah. I suppose we've had bolter selection. We've had a classic bolter in Zammit go to NFL. We've had new captains.
Wow.
The such has been the kind of, you know, we've players like Alec Hepburn, now
Scottish. Yeah.
Having been capped by England, Aaron Reid. So
Ethan
Root. I mean, there are players we've not.
Kiwi.
That we've not discussed. The Chandler Cunningham South. He's come from absolutely nowhere to make this England squad. You look at some of the new Welsh players, new players in the Scotland squad. We've not got time to go through all of them, but there is loads and loads and loads going on. And maybe it lends itself to being a Six Nations that isn't quite as predictable as we may have thought.
Let's hope so.
We will pick this up. Pod on Monday. Big weekend of Champions Cup. Where are you going to be?
You got any more premiers or anything to go to?
Any more premiers? Yeah, so just before we go, Ashley's really annoyed because Danny and I went... You're annoyed. You brought it up a couple
of
times.
Annoyed.
We went to the premiere of the Netflix doc on Monday night, Danny and I. Mm. I don't know whether you're annoyed that we didn't mention it or that you weren't invited or what it was, but there's something that's affected you around that whole premiere.
I am not
on
bothered about it. I'm just asking, is it a regular thing that you do?
Go to premieres?
Yeah.
No.
No,
not
okay.
Not at all.
I hope you had a good time.
Had a good time. And that's out next week, isn't it? But Champions Cup to deal with first. And how good is that going to be this weekend? I'm going to be at Harlequins and I'm going to be at Sale. Just before you get in there and say, oh, you're not going to a game.
You don't go to
any games, mate.
Good to see you doing some graft.
Nice one, Ashley. Good to see you.
Thanks, Christoph.
See you later.
Thanks for downloading Rugby Union Weekly.
For more info,
head to the BBC Sounds app. Sounds app.
The drama.
They're happy to be separated. They've both been shown the red card.
The entertainment.
And score!
The superstars.
Foden! Oh, yes!
What a goal.
Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. I'm not
Scott Chapman, and every week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
They have this dynamism and this quality that they can play anywhere. They need to prove themselves in scoring more and more and more goals.
I think if they don't win the title this year, the season is a failure in the league.
Planet Premier League. Listen on BBC Sounds.